Hallelujah. I wanted to preach tonight on a believer's authority. I was going to take a break, and I am taking a break, on Revelation. I will come back, however, next month and teach on Revelation. We'll pick it up again in chapters 8, 9, and 10. We'll do three chapters. And I asked Jack for an extra teaching day, so we may do six chapters next month. And I can be done by summer time. Think. Hallelujah. Amen. This preaching here, believer's authority, I really gave thought to the fact that we have the power from heaven. The Bible says that the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead indwells and quickens your mortal body, which means that He is alive in us, which means that He was raised up after He defeated death, hell, and the curse over mankind, and He defeated the grave, by the way. He was seated at the right hand of the Father. That same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead indwells and quickens your mortal body. I think we need a more of a better concept of that. So that's what spawned the teaching tonight. So it's not who we are in Christ, but who He is. And we can receive who he is if we believe. Jack mentioned a centurion. I'm going to mention that tonight because the teaching in Luke 7 about the centurion really fascinated me. So we'll get to that. But we're going to start out with Ephesians 1, if you would turn there. And Ephesians 1 is the principles of believer's authority. It's a principle of believer's authority. Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to go down to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to go down to verse 17. Now, if you read this scripture before and you say, well, I read that before, you need to just listen up and hear with spiritual ears. Because if you listen with your spiritual ears, you'll hear differently. And I shared with Jack. Jack gave a sermon that I heard with spiritual ears. It was different. So that's in this prayer, Ephesians, it says, Lord, will you quicken us? And let's just read it so I don't misquote it. We'll start at 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling and what is the riches of His glory, of His inheritance in the saints, and what is exceeding greatness of His power to usward, who believe according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him, which filleth all in all. Let's just back up. Let's go to 17 again. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Well, if you don't have wisdom, James says, ask, and He'll give it to you, and upbraideth not. Matter of fact, it's with no shame. Upbraideth means it's no reproach. He'll give it to you if you ask. It says, spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. When you talk about wisdom, Proverbs 3 talks about wisdom. Proverbs 4 and 5 talks about wisdom. Wisdom is very important because if we go back here and read, which we are going to go back, I want to review those scriptures a little bit with you, because what it says about wisdom is just I think we really have to go Selah and think about it. As a matter of fact, while I'm talking, let's go back to Proverbs. Okay, I want to go to Proverbs 4. Let's talk about wisdom. A lot of times I rush my teachings, but I'm not doing it tonight. We're going to talk about wisdom. And if it's too late and I see you yawning, then I'll just close. Okay, thank you. I preach what I have tonight. God bless you. Okay. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5. It says, get wisdom. What? How can you misunderstand that? Get wisdom. And get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Hello? Wisdom will preserve you. If you love her, she shall keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promise thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou doest embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, mm-hmm. and a crown of glory shall she deliver unto thee. Church, that's pretty powerful. Yeah. If you just glaze over that, you'll never catch everything that's in there. An ornament of grace? Where'd you hear that teaching before? Where is your ornament of grace? But wisdom will give you an ornament. How is that? Because you appear different. You react different. You answer somebody different. You'll be patient with them. You'll never exalt yourself. And you'll hear exactly what their heart's saying, because people speak with their heart. And sometimes it's very emotional and you don't want to hear it. They still speak with their heart.
Right.
So when somebody's speaking with their heart, you want to listen. Because if you miss the point, you've missed the person and you've offended them. And then you miss the opportunity to witness to them and bring them to Christ. Mm-hmm. Very important. Is that wisdom? Yes, it is wisdom. Yeah. God gives us 2 ears to listen twice as much, 1 mouth. Mm. Listen twice as much, 1 mouth to talk. Mm-hmm. Slow it down. That's what I'm doing tonight. Slowing it down, down, down. Why? Because I have to get wisdom too. Everybody does. Nobody's arrived. We're still striving. We're all pressing towards the mark of the high calling. So get wisdom. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver thee. Okay, we're going to jump over to James 1. Now we'll wait on you because I can't turn pages fast enough anymore. I love James 1 because James 1 talks about the very thing we're talking about. It talks about wisdom, but it also talks about patience. And here, if you take James 1 and you read it, patience has a perfect work. It perfects you. How does it perfect you? Because you have to wait, because you have to think, because you have to not speak out. You have to listen twice as much. So it starts perfecting you. And what you think you knew, you don't know. What I thought I knew, I really didn't know.
Surprise,
yeah. I came to know that I was wrong.
Yeah.
Of course, because we're growing up in him in all things, and we're maturing now. What set us off before doesn't do that no more.
Amen.
If it still does, you need to take an account of yourself.
Amen.
Because we're growing up in all things.
Amen.
We shared this before. I don't jack a car sideways and come on after somebody anymore.
Amen.
Because I grew up. I let patience have its perfect work, lest I've been dead. Amen. No more road rage. I want to, let's just start at the beginning, verse 1. James, he's a servant of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Greetings, my brother. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Count it all joy when you lose your keys. Count it all joy when they make you so mad there's smoke coming out of your ears.
That's
count
right.
it all joy. Knowing this, Tim, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Mm. Everybody skips over that little verse.
Yeah.
The trying If you don't go through trials, how can you increase your faith, which we're going to be talking about tonight? How can you do that? How come if everything comes easy and you have no effort obtaining it, how can your faith grow?
That's right.
How can I look back in my life and think of the financial struggles we had, but once we got through them, I thought, yeah, I'm not doing that again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going there again.
Amen.
I'm not signing on the dotted line no more.
Amen to that.
Because I got to go out and I got to labor and make sure that payment's in there. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do that no more. So God gives me wisdom and you have patience. And you don't do that. So you count it all joy because you learn from that trial. Amen.
Yeah.
Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience. Patience is a virtue because it is something in you that's building you, that's making you be a better man or a better woman. Patience. And you're probably thinking tonight, I know, Bob, you know, Elder Bob, you don't understand this happened, that. I do understand.
Yeah.
There are things that really are sad, and there's things that really, you just don't want to talk about them. But you need patience to get through that. Getting through it might be just more important than solving it or make an issue with it.
Yeah.
Just getting through it. Hey, man, let's get by this thing. Come on, man. I mean, it ain't worth my time. Let's just get by it. I could think of a couple of things I had to do that with. But let patience have its perfect work, that ye may be perfect. Look what patience does, church. You can't glaze over this. You listen, be perfect and entire. Be perfect and entire and wanting nothing. Why wouldn't you want nothing? Because the lust of the flesh, you tamed it. Because you don't go say, I mean, I want this and I want that. And I want, you tamed that lust of the flesh. You toned that down. Now you've grown up in things and you know how to wait on the Lord. You know how to pray about things. Now you know how to wait. So, did the Lord say do that? Not yet. Pray more. Did the Lord say it? Yeah. I'm going to wait. Mm. No, come on, let's go. No, I'm going to wait. I'm not going across that intersection yet. I'm going to wait and hear from the Lord. Matter of fact, he told me to wait.
That's right.
That's where wisdom gives you life.
Yeah.
Covers you. Gives you an ornament of grace. And a crown of life. Amen. James 1 is very important. And I think I did get through that. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of a sea driven with the wind and tossed. Oh, I heard that before. Well, you have. But how many times have you been double-minded about something? Whew. Nah. And it's the lust of the flesh. It's tossing you to and fro. So you think you're rooted and grounded and you're standing on a rock, but just your mind, you're still allowing your mind to go back and forth. Yeah.
Double-minded?
No.
Come on.
Yeah, no.
Come on, Elder.
No. Hey, I've been there. Don't tell me about that. Mm-hmm. I've pressed on the accelerator when I should not have.
That's right.
Nah, yeah. And you're putting your life into peril.
Yeah.
You are.
Yes, you are.
So don't be driven. Don't be tossed. At the point in life now, Judy says, well, do you have a peace about it? No, well, then don't do it. Yeah, but nothing. You got a peace about it. No, don't do it. See, we're maturing. We're being the elders of the church. Not a title elder. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the elders of the church. James 5 talks about, if any sick among you, call for the elders. It means the mature Christians. Those that are at peace with themselves, those that know the word and the power of the word, so that they could come and faithfully, and faith with faith, lay hands on you and say,
That's right.
Rebuke that sickness in the name of Jesus. Come out of my brother. And do it with fervency. Now, I want to share something tonight because I purpose to do this. In 2017, and 2017 is gone. But 2017 taught me a lot of things. 2017 taught me about finances. It did.
That's yeah. Right.
And God miraculously delivered us.
Amen.
I would give you an amount, but I'm not so sure I should do that. But it was a large amount. Delivered us. So taught me about praying and taught me about fervency of the heart. Jack would always, we would call in his prayer group. If you're not on it, you should be in a prayer group. And the fervency of the prayers of the righteous saints delivered my son.
Yes, he did.
You think that didn't, do you think that didn't touch my heart? You think it didn't change me? Yes, it did. Because see, I don't see things no more like I used to. When God, the Holy, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit can deliver your son or your daughter, and they can stand before you and you know that there was damage done to them,
yeah.
But because of the fervent prayer of the righteous,
amen.
They were healed.
Yes.
It'll change you.
Amen.
No more road rage. Why do I need? I know my God. I know my God will settle things for me. I don't need that no more. But what I do need is wisdom. To realize the difference between stupidity, ignorance, and wisdom using the mind of Christ. So that changed me.
Amen.
So see, trials perfected me. It made my faith grow. And when we were on the way to the hospital, we did nothing but pray. We did not speak one negative word.
That's right.
It was an hour and a half drive, and honestly, God be my judge, we did not speak one negative word. Prayed in tongues, prayed in the Holy Spirit, called him blessed, called him healed. And you know what, church? God honored that. God honored that.
Amen. Whew. Amen.
Powerful. I better get on my message, because I'm not going to get through half of it, but God honored that,
yep.
Changing,
amen.
And delivered us from the bondage of this cosmos.
Right.
I got so much to tell you. We are servants of the Lord. We're not slaves, we're servants.
That's right.
But in the world system, you're a slave. When you get in bondage financially, you are a slave.
Come on.
To that cosmos.
Yes, you are.
And you will get out of bed 4, 5, 6 o'clock, and you will go to work because you have to make that payment.
Amen.
Because they teach us it's okay to have if we do payments. So many payments, then you got to pay.
You got it right.
You got to pay. Said that, God give me wisdom in that area. Church, we serve a real living God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
Now we'll talk about the power that he's given us, because I don't want to be absolute, okay? But I think that the Christian body does not use the power God gave us. And that power, we're not to go out and say, hey, man, I got power.
Right.
I got power, man. No. That we're to submit to him.
Right.
And as he wills, we use that power, and it works through us. So we are conduits. We are willing and obedient conduits, which means that we allow the Holy Spirit, the virtue, to work through us.
Amen.
We repent, we keep our heart clean, and we are conduits.
Yep.
And the Holy Spirit can work through us.
Yes.
We're not healers. We are servants. That when we hear the voice of the Lord, he says, go over there, and you lay hands on that one, you pray for him. I'll do it and pray.
Yeah.
Don't bring no glory to me. You bring the glory to the Lord.
That's
God.
Right.
Amen. So amen. Power. I don't think the body of Christ is using power. I think they're cowering back. And when the time comes that they have to stand on the word of God, they're not doing it. They need that power. Let me bring up a couple things here. I think you're going to like this, because this teaching taught me some things. There is dunamis. It's been taught here. You know this, but we're going to review this, okay? There is dunamis. Now, dunamis power, it's an inherited power. It's already there. Dunamis has like, Jesus has dunamis power. the fallen angels, we talk about the power of the evil one, it's dunamis. It was given to them because it's inherent. In other words, you have an inherent ability when you were born to have emotions and speak. You have abilities that's inherent. It's already there. With dunamis, power, they already had that. Okay, so when you talk about dunamis, we'll talk about that tonight. We'll talk about exousia. Exousia is delegated power. This is delegated to you. And that delegated authority is what we as a body of Christ are not using. Well, okay, if we were using it, are we witnessing? Because it says, go ye, which is delegated authority.
Right.
Go ye into all nations. So here we go. He delegated that authority to a church without walls. Didn't get that, did you? Okay. What that means is the body, the church, the men and women that God called, that you've accepted him, ecclesia, that's what we're called. We're called children of God. And he delegated this power to his ecclesia. And you ought to take that power and go with it. So let's go on. Ecclesia is authority, a delegated power. It's a liberty and a right to put forth power. I said it's a liberty and a right. It's a liberty and a right. So when you're going through them trials and the enemy's attacking your finances or is attacking your body, you have a liberty and you have a right to speak the word. Jesus Christ took his blood to the throne. He says, Father, here is my blood. Father accepted his blood and says, yes, what you have done, the power of the blood speaks as it did in Cain and Abel. Mm-hmm. Abel's blood speaks. Christ's blood speaks. You know what it speaks? You are innocent.
Thank you, Lord.
You are free of sin.
Yep.
You now reign with him at the right hand of the Father.
Wow.
Come on, if you haven't gasped with that, you're sleeping.
Yeah.
You reign at the right hand of the Father with him.
Amen.
So why do you lack anything? Why do you want anything? You have it all. All you have to do is delegate your authority. See, that's where you go back to James 1. Patience, let patience have its perfect work. Too many times people come up and get hands laid on them and nothing happens. One day, 2 day, 3 day, 4 day, it's not for me.
Yeah, come on.
You know, Timmy can go get healed, but I can't.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lie.
That's right.
You've been raised with Christ at the right hand of the Father. You reign with him. You have the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, indwells, and quickens your mortal body.
Yes, sir.
That's why Jesus is alive. That's why when you walk rightly, righteously, you're a new creation. You are the righteous. And when you walk righteously with him, people come up and says, you convict me of my sin. Wow. Because they can see that. They can see that delegated authority, that power, because you walk with that confidence and that boldness. And you don't allow the enemy to push you around. We'll go on. Behold, Luke 10:19. Can we go there, please? Luke 10:19. If I do anything tonight, I would like to incite you to riot. Riot in the Holy Spirit to step out in your calling. If I do anything tonight, I would like to for you to have a zeal with the power of the Lord and know that you can help someone just by laying hands on them or introducing them to the Lord God Almighty. You have that right. You have that right. The liberty and the right to put forth power has been given to you. Luke 10:19. Behold. Hey, look. Hey, behold. Behold. I give you power, exousia, to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Let's put that in practical terms here. Let's put it in your life. Okay. Does debt hurt you? It does. Okay. There's certain debt that's good. And Bert taught on this. You can get the tape. A mortgage is good debt because it has a return. If you buy things that don't have a return, it's not a good debt. Not getting on debt. I don't want to get over there. But talk about things that hurt you. Sickness. If you allow that. He says he gives you power over the enemy. Where does sickness come from? Come on, church. We are mature saints, man. We know this. We know this. We know that, sickness comes right out of hell. We know it's not of God. All good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights that's ours. So sickness can't come. And those that believe that, there are some churches that believe that. That, okay, God's just punishing me. No. No. He came and healed them all. So over all the power of the enemy, whether it's financially, right? Whether it's in your body, whether it's spiritually, he gave you power. And you have to delegate that power. You have to delegate it. If you were a rich kid and God, that rich man gave you a car because you were a son and it was a brand new car and he flipped you the keys and you didn't do nothing with the keys, he delegated that car to you. It's yours. But if you don't do nothing with it, it sits in the driveway. So that's the same way with today, the ecclesia. We don't use the power that's given to us. Do you speak power in your home? Do you anoint your doorpost? Do you say, Satan, get out of here? As far as me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, there you go. You're taking the delegated authority and you're making practical application in your life. And you're speaking life to your home, to your family, to your children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. You're speaking life to them. You have power. Now, this is delegated authority right here in Luke 10:19. Behold, I give you exousia over all the power of the enemy. What is the power of the enemy? It's dunamis, because it was inherent power, because they were angels that fell. They had that power. It was in them, inherent. They fell, and he brought it down here. But that's why Jesus Christ come to save us, because he give us exousia. He give us power. He give us power to tread over that power, or we could never survive. The enemy would take advantage of us. I said that Jesus defeated death, hell, the grave, and the curse over mankind. He made an open show of Satan's defeat, and Jesus presented his blood to the Father. We talked about that and his Father's acceptance of that blood. And then he returned to earth. He went Matthew 28:18. Jesus came and spoke to them. All power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Matthew 28:18. All power in heaven and earth. I'm going to repeat this till you get it. I got to wake you up. All power in heaven and earth is given to you. All power in heaven and earth is given to you. All power, and it even is given. You can have the power to wake up if you want to. All power in heaven and earth is given to you. I should have heard some amens. One amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. And of course, 19 says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's the Great Commission outreach that we have here. The Great Commission outreach is not dead. It's doing well. We are ministering out of this church without walls. We are laying hands on people. We are seeing people getting saved. So we are doing very well. God had laid in my heart a vision that this summer we're going to do an outdoor revival meeting. I already have the place picked out, and I've got it okay to do that. I have to set that up. Okay, so we're going to be laying on hands out there. We're going to take the power. We're going to have a church without walls, and we're going to minister. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Because that's what we're called to do. I said this before every time I preach, and honestly, I'm not judging nobody. I am not, because I take this on to myself. But when you see an empty chair here, somebody could be there.
Yes, sir.
Somebody could be saved. Mm-hmm. It means this week we got busy. I'm judging myself. This week I got busy, and I didn't witness to somebody or invite them to church. We are the ecclesia. We have all power, all authority, all the power in heaven, and all the power on earth is in us. I have some keys here somewhere. Anybody got any keys? I'm just kidding. Because we got to have the keys to that car to drive it, right? And we have to have the keys. And we have the keys to the kingdom. I want to go to this. I want to share this with you because, first off, 1 John 4:4 says, you are God's little children, and you have overcome the world.
Amen.
You're God's child, and you have overcome the world.
Amen.
So what is it that's holding you back? You're an overcomer. What is it that's holding you back? Is it your temperament? Is it financial? Is it personal? Is it just flat out, I don't want to? What is holding us back? I want to show you something. I really marveled at this, and this probably was why this teaching come forth. So I'm going to take a little time and probably end this with this because I'll get long-winded because I think there's some things here that really is fascinating. And if you will, please, will you go to Luke 7? Luke chapter 7. Jack brought this up, and I'm going to bring it up again because I think it's worth talking about. I think you're really going to enjoy this. Everybody there? Now, when he had ended all his sayings, so what's one? Yeah, 7. When he had ended all his sayings, I said, what was his saying? So he had to back up, and I had to find that out before I could go on. And but verse 49 of 6 says, if you back up there, but he that heareth and doeth it not is like a man that without a foundation, Bob, built in a house upon the earth, against which a stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruins of that house was great. So if you do it not, your foundation is cracked. If you don't do what you're taught as the ecclesia, you use the power, then your foundation wasn't built right. Because it's not supporting you, right, Paul? Does foundation support? So if we take the word and we go out and we're challenged and we don't do anything, then something's wrong with our foundation. We have to go back and check our foundation out because it's not supporting us. It's not giving us that confidence in 1 John 5:14. It says this is a confidence that you have in him that if you ask anything, you should have what you say. So that foundation needs to be looked at again. If we are not doing what we're called to do, we're not doing good works in our foundation, something's wrong with it. But that's what that says. So and then it says he had ended all those sayings in that audience and the people. And then he entered Capernaum. Now this is what fascinated me. And a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy, that he was worthy for whom he should do this. If you didn't catch that, we'll come back to that. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Verse 6 says, then Jesus went with them. And when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy thou shouldest even enter under my roof. Verse 7 says, wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word. King James says, speak the word, and my servant shall be healed. Now, there are certain things, let's break this down and be marveled about here, because this centurion was under a different king. We serve King Jesus. But this centurion did not serve King Jesus. He served King Herod. As a matter of fact, if you go on and read this, he actually built a synagogue. That's why he was so well known. And he knew of Jesus' teachings. Why did he know? Because he built a synagogue. He watched the Jews pray. He watched the Jews speak words of faith. So he knew, he says, when he heard that this man was walking about healing all, he knew. But this is what I marveled at. I'm going to read this again, and I think you'll catch this with me. It says, and when he heard of Jesus, a centurion sent unto him the elders of the Jews. Catch this? Here's a man at new authority. And as in the Garden of Gethsemane, they took authority over Jesus. Because a servant cut off Malchus' ear. Malchus cut off his ear. So they took the authority, the earthly authority, and they mauled Jesus and took him back. But this centurion, in this story, the centurion, he sends out elders of the Jews. And they're beseeching him. Beseeching who? Beseeching Jesus. That he would come and heal his servant. Can you imagine that? You're a powerful man. You've got all kind of authority, and you're a centurion. You've got hundreds under you. When you command one to go, they go. But you hear Jesus, and you send elders. He sent elders to Jesus, beseeching him to come and heal servants. Now, in Matthew chapter 8, this rendition, I read about it, and it says he sent somebody to do something he should have did himself. Because in Matthew 8, the centurion, he actually talks to the centurion. Now, there's two translations. I don't know which is correct, because in that day, they would send a messenger.
Right.
That's what they did. So the messenger, whatever the messenger said, actually reflected him. You can count on it. Mm-hmm. It was more than a handshake. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It could have been that way. But then the centurion, when Jesus, he told the priest, he told them, he says, I'll come. And he's coming. And before he gets to the house, the centurion sends out his servants. And the servants tell him, he says, please don't come into his house. I have word that he thinks he's not worthy. Did you hear that? Hmm. Did you catch that? He sent the servants to tell Jesus that he's not worthy. What? This man got all the power. This man, he commands to go and come, but yet he feels he's not even worthy of Jesus to come in his house. Matter of fact, the servants told him, you tell him to speak the word. Speak the word. Aren't you marveled with that? Just speak the word. I'm not chastising anybody here, but I am saying this, that if someone outside the covenant that does not have the power, all the power in heaven and earth, which sits at the right hand of the Father with Jesus, this centurion didn't have that. But how was it he believed? Speak the word. Just say it. Just say it. Pastor Jack, Pastor John, man, speak the word. I don't even got to come up here. Just speak the word. Just say it. Just say it. I know your man. Just say it. I marvel at that.
Amen.
Because we, the body of Christ, we have so much more power. All the power in heaven and all the power on earth. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead indwells and quickens our mortal body. But will we recognize it? Will we recognize the power like the centurion did? Will we recognize that? And guess what? His servant was healed. He was healed. Now, I know, how am I doing time, Jack? Okay. Well, not go there, but I'll tell you something. That there's another version. I think it's John 4:4. I think it is John 4. Let me look at my notes. We're not going to go there, but that's okay. It was John 4:4 that it was a... Okay, I'm sorry, John 4:46. I'm going to have to go there. I'm just going to wind down because I wanted you to marvel at that scripture like I did. And in John 4:46, this was a government official. Again, serving a different king. This was a good, and he walked 20 miles to get his son healed. A government official. Did not know Jesus' covenant, walked 20 miles. We walked 20 miles, you cry.
Yeah.
Get me a cab, this is not right.
No.
He walked 20 miles. And he had faith that Jesus' word would work. Church, we have Ephesians 1:19 says, exceeding greatness of his dunamis. To us who believe, according to the working or the energy of the strength of his might. If I leave anything with you tonight, know who he is.
Yep.
so you know who you are, so that when your trials come, that you will stand on the rock and use that power that God gave you, and you'll stand against the wiles of the enemy, and you'll say no, and your life will be better for it.
Amen.
You will not be tossed to and fro. You'll stand on a rock. That's what I'm doing. That's what 2018 means to me. It means that I'm going to stand. I'm going to stand my ground, and I'm going to use my authority that's given to me,
right,
like you should use your authority. It's not about a title in church. Don't ever think that. Because if you're given a title, it means more accountability. If you're given any office or any job, it means more accountability. So it means that that person who you think now has all that faith and can move in that, do not move in the power, exousia. No. Just work for it. Because we have to be in the word too. Because our heads, we were just talking about that up here. Because in our heads, we have thoughts that we have to put them down and do the work that God has called us to do.
Amen.
So you are the ecclesia. God chose you. You didn't choose yourself. You didn't choose to be a Christian. God chose you. Can you accept or reject? Absolutely. You have a will. But when you accepted him, he chose you. He chose you to bring you into the beloved. And this power, you have to start using it so you can live a life and see the kingdom of God. to see what's happening in the kingdom of God, because the Holy Spirit will show you. He'll show you where to go, what to say, and what to do. Will you make mistakes? I think you make a lot less. But that's what I have for you tonight. And that's the believer's authority. And I'll leave you with one last note. I think every day you should open your Bible and go read Ephesians chapter 1. Because Ephesians chapter 1 tells you what he's given you. And Ephesians chapter 1 is really the fundamentals of believer's authority. And I thank you for letting me share this with you tonight. Because I've learned a lot when I did this teaching. God bless you. God give you peace. His face shine upon you. And word be in you, through you, and out you, and out your mouth. In Jesus' name, amen.